Hi, welcome to episode 48 of Born to Thrive with Jamie Lee. I'm your host and coach, Jamie Lee. Today, I have a special guest, my friend Clay S. Williams of Plan A Conversations. You know, you meet one of these people who have become bolder, braver, and really better paid by making a contribution, believing in themselves, and taking courageous action because they are committed to their life vision and their purpose. And Clay is one of those people. And as you will hear when I was listening to his story, even though I've heard them before, I was just like blown away. And I think it's really an inspiring, and he sets a really powerful example of what is possible when we set our sights high and commit to becoming bolder, braver, and better paid. So please enjoy, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Hi, Clay.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Nice. So let's get this conversation started. I always ask my guests to tell me about a negotiation in your life or career that had the biggest impact on you. And I define negotiation as a conversation with the intention of reaching agreement.
Interestingly enough, this is a kind of ironic level of a negotiation in terms of reaching an agreement based off of intention. When I was in fourth grade, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. And I don't know if you are familiar with the big drug boom that happened in LA, Chicago, and Detroit during the 80s. But I was a part of that sort of period in time. And we lived in a really great neighborhood, and all of a sudden a drug house appeared on our block. And yeah. And so my next door neighbors, I went over to go get them to play after school. And their grandmother came and said, hey, they can't come out and play because our street's no longer safe. And that was foreign to me. And so I asked her why. She said, because there was a drug house. I was like, okay. So I went back home and I said to my mom, okay, I need you to give me the white pages, an envelope, a letter, and a stamp. And she said, what do you need that for? I said, if you give me this, this will help us with the drug house that's on the block. She was like, oh, okay. And because I was really an eccentric kind of kid anyway, my mom didn't think anything of it. And so I wrote the mayor of Detroit, Mayor Coleman Young, a letter explaining to him the drug house that was on the block. And I told him that me and my friends, who can no longer come out and play, we all got very good grades in school. And if you want us to continue to get great good grades in school and support us, could you do your part in making sure our neighborhood is safe and get rid of this house?
Wow.
Jamie, it was like maybe 4 weeks later, we were riding our bikes across the street. And of course, we had a little safe zone because of the house. And there was a SWAT team that came on our block, raided the house, and the drug house was no more. I get a letter maybe, I think, 3 weeks after that. And it was from Mayor Coleman Young thanking me for my tip. And asked me if there was any other space that was preventing me and my friends or anyone else I knew from playing who got good grades, we would make sure we kept our end of the bargain up.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What did you learn from this experience?
I learned that, you know, in terms of the negotiation part of it, that there's a lot of give and take. You know, what is it that you're doing, or what is it that I was doing that I could use as leverage as a little kid in terms of contribution to the world and to the space? And what is it that I wanted to get out of this, but also knowing how could this also benefit, you know, not only the city, but other people around me. And so that really taught me what it kind of was like to, you know, negotiate in a sense, a very roundabout way, but it gave me a sense of being able to know that my power and my words and my contribution really matters.
Amazing. And that also reminds me of, your leadership, how you stepped into your leadership, even as a little kid.
Yeah.
You realized I have a voice, I have power, I have, you know, the ability to communicate to the people who are in position of authority. And I define leadership as creating solutions in the best interest of everyone. And you created a solution that was a win-win for you, so that you can continue to have good grades and play outside, and for the community.
Yeah, that really set the basis as I moved on in like adulthood, and really thought back, wait a minute, let me come through my past and see where there's other scenarios where I've been confronted with the challenge and how did I get myself out of it? And that literally, I think, was the foundation for how I would then approach any level of risk-taking, any level of leadership, and just courage in general.
All right, so let's fast forward. So how did you apply those lessons in creating Plan A with Play?
Well, interestingly enough, I was in grad school at Princeton Theological Seminary, and I was working at Polo Ralph Lauren to offset the cost of grad school. I ended up getting a promotion to a manager. I was just a sales associate, and was also, of course, getting my Master of Divinity across the street. And people started to come into Ralph Lauren, not to shop, but just to talk to me about their life issues and problems. Mind you, I never told anyone that I was obtaining an MDiv. I kept my life very separate. And while I was having all these wonderful spiritual awakenings and epiphanies at the door of this luxury brand service, and not so much on campus at Princeton, I said to myself, there has to be a way that I can juxtapose my love for nurturing the interior with image consulting the exterior. And Plan A was sort of born from that in a Starbucks coffee shop in Princeton, New Jersey. And while I was toying with the idea of, okay, how am I going to actually make this happen? And I said to myself in that particular point, you're going to have to take a risk. And I remember I had turned down so many wonderful opportunities because it wasn't the perfect fit after graduate school. Yeah. And then moving back to Detroit, Michigan, where my parents were at the time, and was trying to get my mind together. I literally was a monster all that summer because I knew what I really wanted to do, but I did not tap into that courage that I had, or that level of risk taking, that level of leadership to even just say, Clay, go ahead and go. And so
this newfangled thing.
What's that?
And to create this newfangled thing that's, you know, never existed before.
Yeah. Yeah. And after literally, Jamie, accepting this position over the summer at another luxury good from my old boss at Ralph Lauren, I ended up going to New Jersey. I walked into the store. A sense of claustrophobia came over me, Jamie, and I returned the relocation check. I went back to Detroit, Michigan. I said, sit down, Clay. You know what you want to do in your heart of hearts. You need to muster up all the strength and courage and take a risk. And I moved to New York City with $500 and began this company. I couch surfed for a little bit close to a year. I called maybe 12 to 14 different friends and I said, hey, can I crash on your couch maybe once every other week? You know, if there's a time where I may need a meal, can you support me? And then, you know, ask them again, how can I support you in exchange? And so Plan A was born from that experience.
Wow. So what helped you become bolder,
mm-hmm,
and braver than before? Like, actually, the question that I really want to ask is, like, what made you decide and commit to that vision?
Good question. So during that summer of me just being so incredibly unhappy because I was not living to the vision or the purpose that I had in mind, I knew that I would have to create what I wanted it to be. I was talking to one of my friends, and Inger Parker, and I talk about her in all my books and my talks and things like that. And she said to me, you know, I said, well, if I just have X amount of dollars and I can move to New York City, if I just have X amount of, you know, relationships with this particular, you know, company or that networked and I can do this. And she said, you know what, Clay, it'll never be perfect. It'll never be exactly how you want it to be in order for you to move. So wait, you're going to wait until you're 30, until you're 45, 50, 60, then the grave. And when she said the grave part, there was something inside of me that said, oh my gosh, I do not want to be that person. I do not want to be that individual who has spent their whole entire life wishing shoulda, coulda's. I want to live to the highest expression of who I am as a person. I want to expand my mind and I want to really give this a shot. If it's something that I really believe in, I know that I can do it. And that conversation literally was the impetus for me packing up my car and moving to New York.
With $500 in your
with
pocket.
With $500.
Yeah. My father did something very similar. Mm-hmm. He packed up his life in South Korea and he's like, I'm just going to go to America. I'm going to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to make it work. And I think there's something inside of people who decide to do that where they feel like it's perhaps a life or death scenario. Where, you know, if the vision of what you truly have is what you feel you've been called to do, there is no, I mean, clearly there's no plan B. I mean, that's the whole reason why the work I do is called There's Only Plan A, because that's what I feel purpose work is at the core.
Wow. So what changed for you as a result of that?
I'm sorry?
What changed for you? What was the transformation you created for yourself when you stepped into that vision and you're like, I'm going to execute on this vision. I'm going to live my purpose.
It's really interesting because I became bolder. I became more authentic. This was also a point where I was forced to face anything that I shoved in the closet. And, you know, for lack of better words or expression, I literally came out of the closet. I discovered during this whole period of time that I was gay. And by me deciding to go on this adventure, anything that I compartmentalized, anything that I did not want to face, all came running to me like the floodgates had just opened. And I think it was the universe's way of saying, if you want to, you know, get to the pot of the gold, end of the rainbow, you have to make sure that you are as authentic as the voice that you are, you know, speaking out to the world. Can you, beyond just speaking this level of jargon, but can you actually walk the walk? And from that experience, I kid you not, like the sexuality piece came out and made me a better person. My relationship to money shifted. My relationship to other people shifted. Any area that I felt inferior, I was faced with these things all within that first year. Me not wanting to ask for what I'd need. Me not setting boundaries with other people and then getting mad at them.
I think your story is going to be so inspiring to many people who just wait for the opportunity to be who they really are.
Right.
Who want the circumstances to line up so that they can, you know, speak up and stand in their own power.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned the money relationship. Because as you know, a lot of my listeners, we, including me, we want to become bolder, braver so that we can be better paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, if anything, helped you become better paid? And I'd love to hear a story.
I have a great story for you. I had just changed my pricing matrix and I landed my first, one of my first Fortune 500 clients. And she had this incredible epiphany, this incredible service, and she ended up leaving corporate America and matriculating to her calling and passion. And she enrolled in school of midwifery at Yale. So she said to me before she left, hey, Clay, do you mind, can I take you to brunch? And I was like, oh, okay, great. And so we end up going to brunch. She goes, there's a reason why I wanted to sit down with you. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, okay, maybe she's going to give me some feedback that I need to hear as a coach or something maybe is transpired in her life. And she said, take this the best way possible, but your prices are too low. And I go, wait, what? She goes, Clay, you have too many high touch points. You have such great quality and the level of transformation. The things that you gave me, I kind of felt you gave a lot of things for free that were could have been add-ons. And she goes, I'm glad I got in now, but you need to double your prices.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing what your prices were before and what became after?
Right. So at that point, I was charging $3,500 for this monthly package that I was offering. And after that conversation, I literally start, my prices start at $10,000.
For like a series
of coaching?
For the
same service.
For how long a package is that?
Got it. For the monthly Plan A interval package is what I call it, a 30-day intensive.
So you're charging $10,000 for a 30-day intensive?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
She said to me at that point.
Wait. So goes, that's like almost triple the price.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I did not have that conversation with her, I don't know if I would have said to myself, okay, you're worth this amount of money. Maybe something would have happened later on. But hearing it from a client who not only saw the value in it, but also would pull me aside and said, this is what I really think you need to charge. And the good thing about it was she was in a financial services. So she helped me map out during that brunch, a pricing matrix that made sense for me and also the level that I want to be at.
Amazing. What I love about this story is that it was your client. It was your client who clearly saw the value of your contributions, and you obviously had over-delivered times over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you got the clear signal. You got the permission slip from the person who charges you.
Yeah.
That's really incredible.
Yeah, and I never had that kind of experience happened before. I had people who were really satisfied,
yeah,
but not to the point where they were like saying, let me help you out in this way by telling you that you're undervaluing yourself.
Yeah. I just can't stress it enough that, you know, you first over-delivered. And I think that's so key. Mm-hmm. I was just reading this quote from Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich.
And I love that book and that quote. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm going to paraphrase, but basically the person who mm-hmm. does more than she is paid for will get paid more than she gives.
Yeah.
She offers,
and, and it says give more in use value than cash value.
Yeah.
And that literally, and Jamie, this is crazy synchronicity. Me and my marketing and business officer this morning just used that as a conversation point in our meeting for our 2019 goals.
Nice.
It's so true. It's so true.
Wow. Amazing. I find this incredibly inspiring. And wow. So what has happened since then?
Let's see. So since then, I've moved into a new building. Again, just starting to sort of ask for what I want, utilizing my networks and that kind of thing. So my offices are now in the Helmsley Building in New York City, one of the oldest historic buildings in all of New York, which has been such an incredible blessing.
That's your Grand Central, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Really another great opportunity has come. Like I've now set it up where media informs the business development and business development informs the media. And so I'm hosting a show called Bookster Wellness. I'm a regular guest host on Bold Television, which is a lifestyle brand. And I also have my own podcast as well. And so from that, different business opportunities have just been just, you know, really sort of skyrocketing.
Wow. And you are living the dream. You're living the American dream.
No. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I was just having this moment, you know, before the Thanksgiving holiday, and I was just saying to myself, I have so many more big goals and big dreams that I really want to, you know, accomplish. But at this point in life, I was saying, you know, thank you, universe, because I am everything that I've always wanted to be in this point. And that in itself just,
Can I just interject here and make a plug for that podcast you did? Thank you. More, please. Please, everyone, go and listen to Clay's awesome podcast. It's short, sweet, and so powerful. Thank you. More, please. It's about your approach to abundance and the grace with which you receive that abundance.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do anything without it. You really can. And just being grateful in the muck and mire of the busyness and just wanting someone to, you know, see you and understand your value and, you know, all your hard work. It literally is just this vehicle that I believe that propels and just sets you up for continued success.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for ambitious people? And ambitious people are listening to this podcast and they want to live a life like yours, authentic, real, you know, abundant, and making their dreams come true. What advice do you have for people like that who want to lead with purpose and authenticity?
I would say begin first to set boundaries with other people. I found out through a lot of trials and tribulations, ups and downs, good and bad times, that your relationships and literally the people who surround you can either be your biggest advocates, or they could be people who are pulling you down from accomplishing whatever those visions or those goals are. I cannot stress that enough. And as I've been sort of, you know, as Yvonne and Lovey say from this really cool podcast, Jesus and Jalo, they always say, you know, on your glow up, when you're coming up, be cautious of who you spend your time with, because that could really be a deterrence. I would also say, ask for what you want, what you need, and what you feel that you deserve. And a lot of times, I kid you not, my biggest breaks have come by me being very persistent. And also not being afraid for asking people what I want. My very first spotlight television was on Fox 5. I literally, Jamie, I harassed the national news advisor until he literally said to me, okay, I have 15 minutes at like 12 o'clock. Can you call then? And like, I had my elevator pitch ready and I pitched to him and I had my first spot with a viewership of over 5 million people in New York City, right?
Wow.
So make sure you're persistent in your goals. And, you know, a third piece of that conversation also is you have to be very clear and authentic in who you are as a person. Anybody, no matter you're selling a product, if you are the product, people who are your clients or who will become your clients, they can see through anybody that's just completely faking it. If you are not who you say you are, you know, and last but not least is one thing I do wish I would have done a little bit more diligently and on purpose with intention was enjoy the journey. I spent so much time working incredibly hard where I missed so many holidays. I missed friends' weddings. I've missed, just hanging out with people. And it's been a long, long, long journey to just really be able to be at this point. But I do wish that I would have enjoyed the process a whole lot more. And so if you have that additional 15 minutes to spend with, you know, a friend over coffee, if you can get to that holiday with mom, dad, or whomever, you know, be conscious that that time is also important.
How long did it take you from that moment when you arrived in New York City with $500 in your pocket?
Jamie,
when was that?
2007.
Okay.
This whole idea started in 2006 when I at Starbucks in Princeton, and the day after Christmas is when I arrived. So this Christmas will be 13 years.
Wow.
It has been every bit of a journey and, you know, extreme hard work, perseverance, and faith and risk.
Yeah. So I'm on a similar journey. I'm
of course
I
want to
be
are.
Like you, Clay. I want to learn from the book of Clay here. So what do you do when you feel like giving up out of fear, out of, you know, the scarcity mindset?
Yeah.
You know, I call it the itty bitty shitty committee, you know, the voice in your head that says, who do you think you are? You're not good enough.
Yeah.
What have you done that helped you overcome those moments of doubt and fear and anxiety?
So there's two things. That first part is I'm the kind of person that when I have a vision in mind, I discount every step along the way. So yeah, I've partnered with, you know, Deepak Chopra. Yeah, I, you know, have all this wealth of media experience. You know, yeah, I've had a desk side, you know, with a producer at CBS and all these incredible things. I will discount all of those things and just say, well, I haven't arrived at the vision. So what I would do is I would literally start to go back in my emails and go back to my vision board that I have.
Yeah.
And what I do is I star everything that I've accomplished and all the things along the way. I would go back and give credence and pay a special level of gratitude for those things and say, oh, wait a minute, I actually have accomplished a whole lot. You know, because I think somebody like me who's very ambitious, who has a very strong type A personality, and who is literally at my core just a hard worker, when I don't feel that I've arrived at that end goal, I forget everything else that I have accomplished. And so going back and remembering those short-term goals and those mid-level goals, those always, it always brings me out of the funk.
Yeah.
And then the second part of it is too, fitness, movement and exercise has become my therapy.
Mm.
When I get into a funk or a space of, you know, oh my gosh, I'm starting to sort of panic, or I'm starting to get that scarcity mindset of like, okay, Clay, have you moved today? And usually the answer is no. And so after this interview, I have my training session that I go to. And I think people have to figure out for themselves. For me, therapy is my gym, you know, schedule. People have to figure out what their outlet is for them. I know a lot of clients that I have, they'll do, you know, if there's an art project, some will go for a walk, some will bake, some will, you know, do arts and crafts, some will color, you know, adult coloring books and things like that now, or, you know, reach out to a mentor. But whatever that thing is, that has to be on your schedule and you have to do it daily. It literally will, if not annihilate, but it'll lessen the burden of resistance that inevitably will creep in.
You have to develop yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, and it's
yes.
It is a practice for you.
Absolutely.
A daily practice. Yeah.
Yep.
Amazing. Yeah. So where can people go to learn more about the work that you do, about Plan A with Clay and more?
Yeah. Okay, great. So I'm on all of your favorite social media by the exact same handle of at Plan A with Clay. And they can also go to my website, clayswilliams.com. And just for your listeners, Clay is with a K.
All right. Amazing. I'm so happy to have you share your journey to becoming bolder, braver, and better paid. I appreciate you, Clay.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Thank you for this time.
And have a great one.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.